Good morning. It is good to see everyone. It's good to be back up in front of you, I guess, if it is just for one Sunday. For those who may have forgotten or may not be aware, I will be in Parkersburg this next week holding a meeting for the Winding Road congregation. And Brother Ed Roberts has agreed to preach Sunday morning, and Brother Dan Martin is preaching Sunday night. So I appreciate it if you give them the same wonderful attention that you give to me and that you extended to Brother Daniel Rook. I don't know about everybody else, but I kind of was able to express how I felt about the meeting in the bulletin. It was a great meeting. I think we had great things that happened. And my prayer is that we just continue on with those things, that we carry on with the momentum that began there with the meeting. And if you haven't welcomed your new sister in Christ, go and make sure that you welcome her. She's not totally afraid of hugs. We've been breaking her in pretty bad, so be sure that you welcome her into the family. This morning I want to talk about how well do you listen. How many of you out there have kids that just listen to everything you've ever told them? You can just tell them something and they'll remember that for the rest of their life. Sorry, your child's not even really listening to the words yet, just the voice. Ken says my child listens. But, you know, when we think about these things, you know, we think of our kids, and, you know, I remember, you know, my dad, you're not listening. It's going in one ear, it's going out the other. And, you know, when you get to where you have kids and you get one that's getting closer and closer to be a teenager, and you see that and you've got another one where it's like, Austin, look at me. Look at me. No, look at me. And his eyes look at you, and then you know they're not listening. And you know, you get that sometimes as well with preaching. You want to stand up here and you want to go, look at me and listen to what I'm saying. And this is essentially what the Lord has done. When you look as in many of the times that He was speaking in Matthew chapter 11, there in verse 15, and we can see in various other places, in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 9, in verse 43, He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, I'm pretty sure I haven't noticed anyone here without ears. Now, you have to think about that sometimes, because you might have someone who had some kind of a mishap and have lost their hearing or something of that nature. And others may go, well, I have ears, but they don't hear quite as well as they used to. But the Lord is saying, listen up. Listen to what I'm saying. As we see throughout the Scriptures, these are the words of life. These are the words that give us everlasting life, that keep us from going to everlasting damnation. And so when we look at these things, we see that the Lord is saying essentially what is being said is of great importance. So pay close attention to what I'm saying. Just like when I turn to Austin and I'm like, Austin, now look at me. Pay attention. I want you to do this. That's what the Lord is doing. He's saying, turn your ears in my direction. Listen to what I have to say. So this morning, I think it would be fitting for us to ask ourselves, and maybe we should have preached this lesson before the meeting so that we would be listening throughout the meeting, making sure that we're heeding the things that are being said. But maybe you can look back through the meeting and you can ask yourself, well, how well did I listen? I want to say up front, I'm very pleased with the attendance of the majority of the congregation in a meeting. You oftentimes don't get quite as many people there every night, or we had a pretty good attendance of the members every night, and I'm very thankful for that. And I hope that you paid attention to the words that Brother Rugg brought to us, because they were words that are needed, words that we need to heed, we need to hear, we need to use in our lives. Now, as we go throughout the Scriptures, we can see that there are three types of listeners. When we see throughout the Scriptures these three types of listeners, let's look first in Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 11. In Hebrews chapter 5, of course, in the book of Hebrews, we have the author of Hebrews constantly comparing the Old Testament with the New Testament, the Israelites with the people of God today. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, He's going through, and Brother Daniel Ruge mentioned this, that he's talking about Melchizedek, and he says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. How many of you here can say, I understand what that one means? My wife can tell you, I can say, I understand what dull of... My dad would say, I was a dull of hearing person when I was young, and supposedly had great hearing. I remember my grandfather, my dad's dad, one time he thought my hearing was just horrible because I just wouldn't listen. And he's like, come here. And he took out his pocket watch and said, can you hear that? I'm like, yeah. He pulled it out. Can you hear that? Yeah. And he did the same thing. He said, well, why don't you listen? That's the thing. Sometimes we can hear, but we don't really listen. I'm sure any husband, wife can understand this. The wife says something and the husband just sits there, is not doing. Didn't you hear me? Yeah, I heard you, but I didn't understand you. We need to make sure that we're not among those that are dull of hearing. Note that this is a person that has this problem. It's hard for others to explain it to them. Our generation that's coming up want to claim that they're just short attention span. But yet they can sit in front of a video game and they can play that video game for hours on end, completing a game that takes me months to finish. They complete it in just a couple of days. Don't tell me that kids can't focus. They can sit down, they can watch a football game. They can sit down, they can watch a basketball game. They can sit down, they can go and they can watch a 3 or more hour movie and be sad that it's over, wishing there were more. You see, the problem with this generation is they've just become dull of hearing. They don't want to hear these things. It's not something that they want to hear, therefore they're not going to be excited about it. Isaiah wrote of such a people. And the Lord spoke of the words of Isaiah. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's begin reading there in verse 13. The Lord has given the parable of the sower, and the disciples asked him in verse 10, why do you speak in parables? And he says there in verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. In other words, it's right there before you. It's there. It's really easy to understand. You just choose not to. You're listening, but you're not really hearing. You're present, but you're not really here. How many times can you remember when you were in high school or college and you're like, I remember going to the class, but I don't remember anything about what the teacher said. And how many times do we come and we sing songs of praise to God and we read from the Word of God and we have lessons taught to us from the Word of God and we walk away and what did that preacher talk about? What was that message? We're not really hearing. We've become dull of hearing. We need to make sure that we avoid being a hearer that is dull of hearing. We also have another type of listener that we find in the Scriptures, and that is those that want to have their ears tickled. King James Version, you may know a little bit better, having itching ears. My son likes to be tickled at night before he goes to sleep, or I like to think that he does because I like to tickle him. We'll sit down and say our ABCs and count and say our books of the Bible, and then he'll say his night-night prayer, and then I'll tickle him. You know, they like that somewhat, don't they? They don't like it when you do it for too long. But you know, you get that way with grown-ups sometimes. We want someone who's going to make us feel good. We want someone that's going to tell us things that are joyous. Things that won't make us feel bad. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells this young preacher, Timothy, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. It's kind of interesting that people talk about the world today and how they don't want to hear the gospel. And we act like that's something new, don't we? Well, the world just doesn't want to hear the Word of God anymore. Isn't that what Paul was telling Timothy right there? Did that stop Paul from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did that stop him and tell him, well, Timothy, there's going to come a time they're not going to want to hear it anymore, so therefore you just don't worry about it. You see, this is a problem throughout all time. They don't want to hear the things that are negative. They don't want to hear the things that bring them down. They want to hear only those things that are pleasing. And so when you go back in verse 2 of that very same chapter, and Timothy is told to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Regardless of what they want to hear, you continue to tell them. But there's going to come a time where people aren't going to want to, they're going to have their I want to be tickled. I want things to be pleasant. I want to go out feeling all nice and warm and fuzzy inside. I want to leave with a smile on my face, not fear of the wrath of God. It seems that that might have been the problem with the Israelites. Maybe that's why they became dull of hearing. They just wanted to hear flowery things. They didn't want to hear the words that, as we've been studying in our Bible lesson on Sunday morning, they didn't want to remember that song that Moses was teaching them. Because that was going to bring sorrow. That was going to bring remembrance of destruction of the promises of the Lord. But there's one other type of hearers that we read of in the Scriptures. And that is those who hear with an honest and good heart. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, there in verse 15, the Lord says, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Now you remember in those earlier passages there in that chapter, he talks about the seed that fell on the wayside and the rocky ground and the thorny ground. And remember the wayside just gets plucked up. Satan just rips it right out. They didn't get a hunk of it. And in the rocky ground, he speaks that, you know, it wasn't able to really get its roots down into the rocks. It can't really stand. It can't hold fast. And it's lost. And that which fell among the thorns, it's choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. It's holding fast to that. You ever walk through thorns? What does it do? It grabs a hold of you. It holds on to you. You see, the one that falls on the honest and good heart, the ones who are really listening, who are listening with a genuine desire to know, with a genuine desire to find out, these are the ones that hold fast. And they bring forth the fruit. So what kind of a hearer are you? That's what we need to ask. Are we those hearers that, well, he just keeps preaching that same old message all the time, day in, day out, it's the same thing, just always, it's about heaven, it's about hell, and I'm just kind of tired of it, and so I've become dull of hearing. Or, you know, I'd like to hear more positive lessons. I'd like to go out feeling all nice and wonderful about myself. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with a positive message. We read throughout the Scriptures several instances where there were positive messages. But I just want to feel good. What kind of hearer are you? Are you one that wants to know the truth and are ready and prepared to accept that truth? But why is it so important to be this kind of listener? To be one who has an honest and good heart? Well, let's look at some important things that there is for us in the Word of God, in listening to the Word of God. First and foremost, we can see that it is essential to being blessed. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, there beginning in verse 16, the Lord is speaking to them. And as we see in verse 16, He says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Now just think about that for just a moment. Moses. We read in our Bible class this morning that there would never arise another prophet like Moses who dealt with God face to face. Not that he saw him face to face, but it was that they carried on conversations. Moses. Noah. Noah was let in that God was going to destroy the world, but he didn't know anything after that. Elijah. You think of all the work that Elijah did. All the pain and the suffering that he went through living as an outcast, being hunted by Ahab and Jezebel, and he didn't know it. Daniel, that wonderful young man that went over into Babylon and proved himself worthy by remaining faithful to the Lord even as a youth. And even when he became an aged man, when we enter into the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, and he's still there, and he's still looked at as a man of great wisdom, of great virtue, he endures the lion's den as an old man. A lot of times we get that backwards. We think, well, he's a Medo-Persian. He's an old man, and he was thrown into the lion's den. He's there in that lion's den, and you look at the end of the book of Daniel and all those beautiful revelations that are given to him, and he didn't have it either. So do you see the importance in listening? We have what Elijah didn't have. We have what Daniel didn't have. We have what Moses didn't have. The things that they desired to see, we see. The things that they wanted to hear, we have. Do you not think that's worth paying attention to? Do you not think that is a great and wonderful blessing? In Ephesians chapter 1, there in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You know, I think Brother Dan mentioned this a little bit, and we need to think about it. You know, if you were an Israelite, you'd have to go to the synagogue just to even look at the Word of God. You would go to the synagogue not to be able to read it yourself, but to hear it being read. Isn't this a great and wonderful spiritual blessing that we have it right here in our homes? Many of us have multiple copies. We've had it available our entire life. We have the opportunity to come together multiple times throughout the week to listen to the Word of God be preached from. The blessings that we have from the Lord are great and wonderful. The importance of good listening is it is essential to being blessed. But it's also essential to have a saving faith. See, that's what a lot of people don't realize. There is a faith that doesn't save. Remember, the demons believed. The Lord said, many are going to come to me that day and say, "Lord, Lord," they believe. But what's He going to say to them? "Depart from me." They're not saved because of their belief. But you see, hearing is essential. Good listening is essential to saving faith. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 1. There in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Faith is necessary for salvation. But look with me further, if you would, in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, there in verse 14, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.' However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" So faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You see, hearing, listening well, listening with an honest heart, with a good heart, with a readiness to accept, is important for that salvation that comes through faith. While one can certainly gain faith through reading God's Word, the fact remains that many are often dependent upon what they first hear proclaimed. If you go back and look in the book of John, there towards the end of the book, John chapter 20, There in verse 30 and 31, we read there, John says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name." But you know what? It's hard to believe, but not everyone has a Bible. It's hard to believe because, was it 6 billion copies have been sold? Not this year. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about since Gutenberg and they started keeping records and things like that. 6 billion copies of the Word of God have been sold. It's available in almost every language known to man, in whole or in part. But some only learn of Jesus Christ by hearing. Some may only have the Old Testament. They may be like the Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling back and reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip goes up to the chariot and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless someone shows me or explains it to me?" You see, there are those in this world that have the Old Testament and hold to the Old Testament. They need to know further of the blessing of Jesus Christ. They need to be told of Jesus Christ. You see, many only will hear the Word of God. We need to make sure that we are giving them that opportunity. Many, their faith is lacking simply because they don't listen well enough. And so does your listening hinder the development of your faith? We can also see that listening is essential to bearing fruit. Look again there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. What do we read there? "The seed and the good soil, these are the ones who had heard the word in an honest and good heart. It all began with hearing, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance." They can't hold it if they haven't heard it, can they? And so there is a great need to listen to the Word of God, to listen attentively. In Colossians chapter 1, there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "Which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." You realize how many New Testament scriptures there were available when Colossians come along? 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and one of the Gospels, possibly. That's about it. And so all they had was what? What they heard. He said, "This word that you've heard, it's going throughout the world and it's bringing fruit." Through what? Through the hearing of the word. Maybe we're not bearing enough fruit because we're not hearing it ourselves and we're not giving others the opportunity to hear it in our own lives. I believe as Nathan led the song Friday evening, "The World's Bible." Do you pay attention to the words of that song? We sang, and supposedly we meant it, "We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred?" Are you broadcasting in your life the Word of God? Or are you allowing it to be broadcast into your life? Are you listening to the point that you can have this salvation? That you can bear fruit in the kingdom of God? We also need to understand that hearing is essential in preventing apostasy. What do we read about in the days of after the days of Joshua? When we get into the days of the judges, Joshua, we're fixing to get into that. He's leading the Israelites. We get into the book of Judges and it says they followed the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders that reigned during the days of Joshua. But then what? There arose a generation that knew not God. They didn't remember all the wonderful things that had done. Hearing is essential to avoid apostasy. Getting our young people to listen. Getting them to pay attention. Look with me if you would in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning there in verse 1, he says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." What's he talking about there? The Israelites fell away. They quit listening. They quit paying attention. They quit talking about it to their children. They quit talking about it to their grandchildren. They fell away. And the author of Hebrews is saying, so to avoid that, we've got to pay closer attention. Do you catch that? We need to be more devoted to the Word of God than even the Israelites were commanded to be. Our salvation is at stake. The salvation of our children. He says in verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who have heard. Now think about that. How are we going to escape? If you're not listening, you're not going to. Let's say you're walking down the road. Okay? It's a narrow lane. There's just trees all along the side, fences all along the side. Let's say you're a young person. You have your iPod. Wonderful little things. Carry all your music around with you. Stick the headphones in. You're just walking along, just bebopping. Just enjoying life. All of a sudden, these people are running in the other direction. You're like, oh, okay. You just keep walking. You just keep walking. And then all of a sudden, the herd of cows just run right over you. Because you weren't listening. You didn't hear, come on, get out of the way, get out of the way. There's a herd of cows coming. Move. It's only because you weren't listening. You died. It was interesting. I read just here recently that there is one out of every 10 accidents that involve a pedestrian, it involves someone with an iPod or some kind of an MP3 player, because they're not paying attention. They're not aware of the dangers that are ahead. And the church has suffered the same thing, has it not? You go back into the 1800s when men such as Alexander Campbell and Barton W. Stone and Raccoon John Smith, they're out there, they're preaching the Word of God. They're preaching, speak where the Bible speaks. Keep silent where the Bible is silent. Somewhere along the line, men such as Alexander Campbell quit listening to that message and began preaching another one, saying, oh, we can do some things that the Scriptures may not authorize. But there was a select few that remained faithful, that kept to the Word of God, and they continued to preach it. We don't need the missionary societies. We don't need all these institutions that the rest of the world thinks is necessary. And then the 1900s roll around, on up to around 1940. Next generation. Well, what about these missionary societies? What's so bad about them? What about these institutions? What's so bad about them? What's wrong with instrumental music? We don't see anywhere in the New Testament where it says, thou shalt not pluck on the strings of a guitar. What's wrong with it? No one had told them. Or even worse, they hadn't been listening. And so between 1940 and 1950, going on towards 1960, the great split, the great divide, the division between the institutional brethren and the conservative brethren, for lack of better terms. And you know what? Here it is, 2008. And this has been going on for about 10 years now. What's so wrong with these things? What's wrong with it? We've said it time and time again, but I don't think we really listen to what's being said. We are one generation away from apostasy. This congregation right here is one generation away from destruction as far as the Lord is concerned. You see how listening is essential to avoiding apostasy? To avoiding falling away? The only solution is what we read there. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention so that we do not drift away from it. Because how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's also essential to avoiding rejection and condemnation. If we don't listen as we should, those who teach the Word of God have a right, listen to me, they have a right to reject you. Look what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, turn over there, make sure it says the same thing in your Bible as what I've got up here. Matthew chapter 10, Verse 14 might read a little bit differently because this New American Standard. Verse 14, whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know, if someone says, I just don't want to hear it, I don't have to keep telling them. If someone says, I just don't want to hear that, all right, that's your right. I'm moving on down the road. As we look further, turn with me over in the book of Acts. Let's look over in Acts chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary journey. They've traveled through the island of Cyprus. They've come up into the area that we look at as modern-day Turkey, the area of Asia Minor in the Roman Empire. They've gone up to the major metropolis there of Antioch of Pisidia. And in Acts chapter 13, let's begin reading there in verse 44. The Apostle Paul has been preaching to them. He's been talking to them. As he did in every city, he would go into the synagogue and he would begin teaching them in the synagogue. In verse 44, after having preached the previous Sabbath day, they're like, we want to hear some more of these things. And so they come back the next Sabbath, verse 44. Nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Now think about that for just one moment. The Jews should have known better. Throughout all the Old Testament, I'm sending someone. A lion from the tribe of Judah. Salvation to the people. Oh, but it's going to be a mighty nation. He's going to bring us back to a mighty nation. And no one's done that. Well, what about Isaiah 53? He's led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb before the shears, he's silent. That's not the sound of a king, a physical king, is it? They had everything there laid out for them. The Apostle Paul said, it's necessary. We were required to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That's what the apostles were told. Take it to the Jews first. But you know what? The minute the Jews said, we don't want to hear it, we don't like what you're saying, that's great. We'll go on to the Gentiles. And look at how the Gentiles rejoiced. Salvation has come to the rest of the world. Now just to put yourself in the first century, and all of us, if we're not of Jewish heritage, would be a Gentile. And the Jews would look down on us and go, we're the people of God. You're nothing. You're no one. And let's say that you're one of those God-fearing Gentiles that have been going and listening to the Word being read there, and you've been hearing it and hearing about the blessings that's going upon the children of God, the Israelites. And then here comes someone in that synagogue preaching to you from those very scriptures saying salvation has come to you. You know, sometimes we waste too much time on those who don't want to hear. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we won't ever tell them again. Let them know I'm here when you want to listen. But let's quit wasting our time. Let's quit spinning our wheels on those who don't want to hear and move on. And we might find those who are willing to rejoice at the Word of God. Folks, we need to understand that if we reject the gospel, perhaps by poor listening, the men of Nineveh and the queen of the south will condemn us at the judgment. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 12. And to kind of set the stage there, think about the men of Nineveh. Who were they? They were people so bad that Jonah, when he was told to go and talk to them, he's like, I don't want to go talk to them. They're the enemies. They're horrible. There's no way in the world they would accept it. They would kill me before they accepted the word of the Lord. And so he ran in the other direction. Ran. Jumped on a boat. Took off. can't run from the Lord, can you? Jonah can testify to that. It's out there. The waves are getting boisterous. The fishermen are getting scared. He's like, it's my fault. Just throw me over. You'll be okay. The Lord is exacting His judgment on me. I deserve it. But he was afraid to go to Nineveh. As we look there in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, it says, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, something greater than Solomon is here. That queen of the south, queen of Sheba that we read about that came up to, she'd heard of the glory of Solomon. I don't believe it. She had heard of the wisdom of Solomon. I don't believe it. I'm going to go see it for myself. Now, it's really no way to know for sure exactly where that Sheba is, where she came from, that queen of the south. Many believe that she might have been an Ethiopian queen or someone down below Ethiopia. Others believe that it's the southern end of the Arabian Peninsula. But if you don't think that's a long way to go, you go and you look on your map and see the deserts and the rugged territory. And think, she wasn't jumping in some Gulfstream jet, flying up there and flying back. She was taking her whole entourage, and they were traveling by horse or camel just so she could hear the wisdom of Solomon. That's why the Lord is saying, they're going to rise up in judgment against you. They're going to rise up in judgment, and they're going to condemn you because they repented. They went out of their way to hear the words and the wisdom of the Lord. Behold, we've got someone better than Jonah. We've got someone better than Solomon. And folks, we need to stop and think sometimes. Why do we miss? Why do we miss on Sunday night? Why do we miss on Wednesday night? Why do we come in late on Sunday morning? Why? I'm going to tell you why. A lot of the times, it's solely because there's something else that's more important. No, there's not something more important. Yes, it is. Anything that keeps you away from the service of the Lord is more important. Habitually keeps you away from the service of the Lord, it's more important. And the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment because they were willing to listen. They prepared themselves to listen. Not only will those who preach the gospel have the right to reject you, but the Lord will reject you on that day of judgment. And so, let's close our lesson this morning by looking at some steps that perhaps will help us better listen. First and foremost, make listening an act of worship. We read in the Scriptures, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." Are you aware Jesus is sitting right beside you right now? Awake or asleep, He's there beside you. Think about that. He's sitting there beside you while you're flipping through your Bible going, "Oh, come on, it's 15 till 12. Would you just stop already?" He's sitting there. Right there beside you. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Listening to the Word of God is of the greatest of importance. I remember with the Israelites, they would read the Word of the Law every 7 years from morning until evening, reading. You've read some of it, haven't you? We've been studying some of those sayings that just repeating themselves and repeating themselves. That's what they were reading. And you know what they did when they got through reading? They talked about it. They gave the sense of the law. They tried to help people to understand what was being read to them. You reckon they had air conditioning? You reckon the Israelites sprung for some padded pews for a couple of million individuals? And what was the purpose for them reading? Why did they come together to read? So that they would remember the Lord, so that their children would learn of the Lord and fear Him, and so that the strangers in their midst would hear of the Lord and fear Him. And what have we read? We've got something better than they had. And yet we can't devote an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a week to reading and studying from the Word of the Lord. Make listening an act of worship. Make this an offering to the Lord. Lord, I devote my attention to You. Not to Tim Henderson, not to Harold Marshall, not to anyone who stands before You, but I'm devoting my attention to the Lord because these are Your words. If I'm not speaking the Word of the Lord, You need to tell me to shut up. It's time to sit down. You're not talking about the Word of God anymore. We don't need any of that. Make it an act of worship. And then, here's one thing that kind of tickles me with people. They like to jump. I'm not going to name names. People that, perhaps in this audience, that don't care exactly where they are in the particular order of things. They'll just jump right in and they'll jump right to the end. I remember my brother, Jeff, who is not exactly the reader of the family, he likes to jump right to the end, see how it ends. I'll oftentimes put a piece of paper or I'll avert my eyes when I'm flipping through a novel that I'm reading because I don't want even the clue of what's at the end. I don't want to even see a name and go, oh, well, I know they live. Some members of the church in Dyersburg, one of the ladies there, she was a speed reader. And she asked me if I was because I read not fast. I don't think I read fast at all, but I'll get through books pretty quick because that's my vacation. That's my day off. Instead of going and doing other things, my day off is sitting there reading while the kids are playing and I can watch them. But she was a speed reader and she was talking about, you know, you just catch the first line of the paragraph and the last line of the paragraph. That's all you read. I'm like, well, that's no fun. That takes out all the descriptions of what's going on and you don't really know exactly what happened. You get the gist of it. And that's the way a lot of people are with sermons. Well, I remember he started talking about this, and this is what he said at the end. Well, quit listening. Listen from the beginning to the middle to the end. Preachers have a responsibility to make sure that they're doing it in an orderly fashion so that you can follow along. But start at the beginning and listen all the way through. I know this may be a little bit of a chore. Look at the speaker. Look at him. It might scare some people awake. It helps you to pay attention if you're looking at the individual, if you're watching him. I don't know if you noticed Mr. Daniel Ruug. Man after my own heart, speaks with his hands, gestures. It can help you keep your attention. It greatly aids your concentration. Looking elsewhere makes it easier for your mind to wander. When you're not looking at the teacher, when you're not looking at the preacher, it's really easy to see Lydia out the corner of your eye blowing bubbles or something of that nature. Isn't it, Matt? She's just right there and she's cute. I don't think she's quite as cute as Paula because my daughter's cuter, but that's just the way it goes. But if you keep your eyes in the front, eyes ahead, it's like I say to Austin, look at me. And those three-year eyes, no, look at me. Then I know I have his attention. Folks, we need to realize I'm not the television. I see. I'm not my father where I preach looking at the back of the room and well, I know there's some people down here, but I don't know what they're doing. I could have picked my nose at my father and flicked boogers in his direction and he would have never known. I see. And if for no other reason, look at me just so you encourage me every once in a while. Let me think you're listening, but your soul's at stake if you're not. Look at the speaker. Read along in your Bible. One of the biggest chores for me as a gospel preacher was learning to slow down. Slow down enough to give people time to turn over. And PowerPoints are great things, but they've kind of spoiled me a little bit too, because I can pop it up there. And that gives people a chance to read it out of the same translation I'm reading out of, but I still like to hear those pages turn. And so I try to make myself slow down enough to where people have an opportunity to turn. And I've had people go, well, I just can't get there fast enough. Practice. You want to know why a lot of people, I'm not going to say anyone in the audience is this way or anything, but you want to know why a lot of people can't find books of the Bible? They don't know them. Oh, they learned them when they were 4 or 5 years old, but they've forgotten them. Where's Jonah? I think he's in the Old Testament. Really? We're going to talk tonight about biblical illiteracy and looking at some of the things that people just really have a misunderstanding of. Read your Bible. That visual aids are great. Reading and listening, seeing it and hearing it help you to retain it. And what better visual aid is there than the Word of God? Reading it in your Bible. You know, sometimes when you read a certain passage and you're trying to think of it and you're like, I know it's on the right-hand side of the page. You ever done that? You want to know why you can do that? Because you've read it. You've paid attention to it. That helps you retain some things. Read along in your Bible. Listen with faith. That's the important thing, folks. We talked about making listening an act of worship. Listen with faith. Listen with a willingness to accept and to believe that which is shown to be the Word of God. Not just to believe anything, but when they take you to the Word of God, you believe it. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, there beginning in verse 1, therefore let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. Why? Well, there it is. You looking? You reading? You following along in your Bible or up here, one or the other? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. You can listen to the Word of God all day long, and if you don't have the faith there, it's for naught. It's useless. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness for at least 100 years while he was building that ark, while he was preparing the ark, warning them. Why did they not believe? Or why did they not heed? Because they didn't believe. Noah, you're crazy. Rain? Come on. Enough rain to flood? No. It wasn't joined with faith. Why did the Israelites not enter into its rest? Why? What's he talking about here? They came up to the land of Canaan. They had been down there at Mount Sinai. They had seen all the wondrous works of the Lord. They had seen the power of the Lord take them out of the land of Egypt. They get up to the land of Canaan. The 10 spies come back and go, there's giants, big, huge guys, 9, 10 feet tall, great big walled cities. We're living in tents. We can't take them. Joshua and Caleb, oh, but we can with the Lord. Theirs was faith. The others were not. Their lack of faith kept them from entering in. The faith that Joshua and Caleb had, when we get there and they're going in, Joshua and Caleb, 80 years old, Caleb's going to go and get his mountain that he saw. Why? Because he believed in the Lord. Listen with faith. If we don't listen with faith, the same sort of thing will happen to us. We'll fall short as well. And in closing, listen with a mind to act. A mind to act. Whatever he says, I'll do. Or what's that song? Where he leads, I'll watch him go. Where he leads is an interesting direction. Where he leads sounds like a nice place, but I'm not quite ready to go. Where he leads, I'll follow. Ezekiel chapter 33. Let's begin reading there in verse 30. It's interesting to read these things of all that Ezekiel had to go through. Verse 30 of Ezekiel chapter 33. But as for you, son of man, Your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes from forth from the Lord. They come to you as people come, and sit before you as my people, and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their grain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Now, look at that for just a second. Hey, come on, guys. Ezekiel's got a new message from the Lord. Let's go listen. Let's go hear it. It's great. Oh, that was so pretty. That was such a beautiful message. Ezekiel has such a great voice. I could just sit there and listen to him speak all day long. I just really dread the time when he's closing up. I could just sit there and listen to Ezekiel talk. You hear some people are that way about a preacher. Oh, I just love to listen to Brother so-and-so. His voice is just so wonderful. His tone, his delivery is just so great. Wait a second. What's he saying? You see, that was a problem with the Israelites. Oh, Ezekiel, you're like a sensuous song sang by an individual with a beautiful voice and plucked on an instrument so wonderfully. But have you paid attention to some of the things that Ezekiel was saying? Death, destruction. We're that way as well, aren't we? What are we told in the Scriptures? If you sin, you go to hell. If you hear but don't obey, you don't make it to heaven. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James. James chapter 1. Let's begin reading there in verse 22. James writes, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now you think about that for a second. Have you ever walked up to the mirror? You're getting ready for church or to go somewhere, and okay, I got to remember, I got to brush my hair. I know I still do have to kind of take a wash rag and go across it. I got to brush my hair. I can't forget to brush my hair. You walk away, you walk out the house, your wife looks at you. You're going to go out looking like that? What were you thinking? That's the way many people are when they hear the Word of God. Oh, yeah, I need to listen. I need to listen attentively. I need to pay attention. I need to be present. I need to be there. I need to make it like worship. I need to serve the Lord more effectively by listening to His Word. And so I need to make sure that my life is centered around the Word of God. And I'm going to center my schedule around the opportunities to hear the Word of God. And I'm going to make sure that I get in bed at a time where I can be present and I can be awake and I can be aware so that I can hear the Word of God.
Amen.
Because it is the most precious thing in the world. It is the only thing that teaches us what is necessary for salvation. It, the Word of God, is the only thing that really matters in this world. Grass will wither up and fade. The works of this earth will be destroyed. All the things that we think are so important, so necessary, will be gone. Only our salvation, which comes by hearing the Word of God, is what matters. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. I want to read just a few passages from the book of Isaiah, and then the lesson will be yours. In Isaiah chapter 55, let's read there in verses 2 and 3. Isaiah says there to the Israelites, he says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Look at that next phrase there. Listen. Are you looking? Are you listening? Listen that you may live. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. What is he talking about there? Where are you going out wasting all your money on that food? You know what? Your stomach's just going to digest it. It's just going to become waste product. And that body that you're so worried about all the time, what's going to happen to it? Worms are going to eat it. Listen that you may live. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Let's read there verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But, pay attention, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You're never going to hear the Lord go, I know you want salvation, but I just can't quite reach you. That's not going to happen. The Lord's never going to say to you on the day of judgment, you were calling, I wasn't listening for the phone. That's not going to happen with the Lord. Our destruction is because we didn't listen to him. We didn't obey him. We didn't listen so that we might live. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. And the invitation is offered to all who are present here this morning who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have heard the word of God, have heard that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God, who have heard that the scriptures teach us that with confession, salvation is beginning to be obtained. Who have heard in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, believe and repent and be baptized. You've heard it. Now, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, but I've done too much. No, you haven't. Oh, I've lived a horrible life. There's no way God can forgive me. Yes, he can. Think about that for just a moment. Did you put Jesus Christ upon the cross? Did you stand out there in the crowd and say, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We want him on the cross. We want him put to death. The Apostle Peter told them there on the day of Pentecost, this Jesus whom you crucified, they were the ones. What do we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord. 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls who have been out there screaming, crucifying, crucifying. Obey the gospel. Oh, but I'm much worse than that. Are you worse than the Corinthians? Think about that for just a moment. Murderers, liars, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, everything that the world has ever dreamed up, Corinth was already doing it. It's nothing new. Corinth had figured it all. What did the Apostle Paul say to the church there in Corinth? Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no sin. There is no pardon that the Lord can't give. All he's waiting for is for you to ask. If you need to obey the gospel, come forward, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be buried in baptism, washing away your sins. They're removed. They're gone. Everything you've ever done that has separated you from God is removed, and you're brought back into that close relationship with God. That can be obtained today. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. Perhaps you've obeyed the gospel. You're a child of God, just like the Israelites were. And you're tired. You're tired of listening. You're tired of doing. You're looking at the world where they get to have all this fun. And I don't ever get to do anything. And the weeds, the thorns have choked out the Word of God in your life. Today, right now, is the day to return to the Lord. Do not wait till tonight. Do not wait till next week. Whatever your situation might be, make it right with the Lord this day as we stand and as we sing.